Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You have reached Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and we are now on the air. I want to thank Klaus Jensen and Henrique Burke Abu for their music this evening. And you can take a closer look at the music at www.music.com. of motherandchild.com. Tonight, Moonvine, aka Joan Adams, and I will, and hopefully you, will be discussing inspirational lenses and lens making. And without further ado, hello, Joan.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm back into my little challenge with the chat room.
Yes, so. I have. I see the same sort of thing. That it's almost like a deja vu. But we
may
will,
learn.
Well, as we learned last week, we just probably need to go out and come back in and see if it works. But. As I was just saying, our topic this evening is inspirational lens making and also lens makers and lenses themselves. I think that sounds exciting.
Oh, it is. And I just looked at a few just to get, before we came on the air, in fact, looking at my own, actually. Looking at,
wonderful.
At the one about... my husband's legal blindness, and I thought, you know, that is an inspirational lens. And if I could get the chat room, I would leave that link, and I'll do that in a few minutes. But the one that, yeah.
How long ago did you do that lens?
I did it when I first joined Squidoo.
Wow.
And it is still in my top five lenses. It has just had quite a life. I think people enjoy reading a story about someone who has met a challenge head on and dealt with it.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I think that's the charm of that one. People seem to like it and enjoy it. And like I say, the traffic has been constant since the very beginning. He gets a lot of traffic off of from Google and Yahoo and, you know, not just Squidoo, which is really nice. And I think people are inspired by that story. And
I think
we have,
so. I think the challenge of overcoming adversity and seeing how a person handles something that people think is the worst thing in the world that could happen to you, and when in reality it really isn't.
Right. In reality, there's a way to cope. And Whitey's attitude has always been there are worse things. You know, this could be worse. And goodness, this happened to him when he was 42 years old. He's 70 years old now. But, you know, we raised the children. They're both fine young people, and we're thrilled. And, you know, life went on in spite of it. Of course, it helped that he has a super positive attitude, and he laughs a lot and went on living his life and playing golf. But dealt with it on a day-to-day basis. One of the most fascinating things for me as the wife in all of this has been the men who will say to me, how much he has inspired them. You know, we're talking about guys that stay on the golf course and talk garbage to each other all day, you know. But they will say, you know, it's just neat to hear. And they'll say, you know, he has really, and that matters. That's important.
So he has inspired everybody around him, and especially men that he plays golf with. And, I mean, that's really important.
Yes.
Because men need that kind of role model. We all need that kind of role model, and that's exactly what he is.
Right. And I think.
And then you spread the word with your lens all over the world.
Yeah, and that's been interesting. It really has been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch all the golfers at first, when it first went out there and put smart comments on it and all that stuff, and it's fun to read the comments. But because Whitey is a practical joker, too, so they've all been on the golf course with him. But also, we've got a lot of comments from people, as you say, around the world. And again, we all have challenges. One of my favorite things is that we all have a story. Everybody's got a story. And whatever our challenge is, the thing about the challenge is more how we handle it than what it does to us. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think it's all really. Yeah, it's all about the journey, right? What you do with it. What makes it happen. So, anyway, life does go on, and all is well. And I think I just figured out the chat thing.
Great.
But this last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I realized that three of my dearest friends on Squidoo had written lenses about their own alcoholism.
Right.
And I was just thrilled to see the stories. I just firmly believe in telling our stories. And so I created a lens about AA and recovery and featured yours and Gypsy Al's and Chef Keem's. And then we spread it out a little bit and went on and included people who had battled depression, people who were battling mental illness or had had family members with mental illness. So it's going to be interesting to watch that grow.
Yes.
I still cannot get in the chat to give the link to yours or to give the link to any others. I cannot see who is online. Can you?
I actually just got the chat up. In reality, with mental illness and any other kind of, especially mental illness and alcoholism, I have realized that with alcoholism, a good percentage, and I'm not sure exactly the percentage, but a good percentage of people who are alcoholics have mental health issues.
Now say that again.
They have mental health issues on top of their alcoholism.
Okay, yeah.
And so there is that component, that interrelationship, and really recovery of all kinds of, you know, recovery from say Whitey's blindness, recovery from when people are recovering from illness. The word recovery is just an amazing word. It spans quite a lot of different venues.
Well, even like we were talking last night about on Vision Quest about the guys that had served in war overseas. And
yes.
What a time they're having. And 9/11 victims also, Hurricane Katrina. Anybody that's recovering from events is a recovery.
Yes. And
yeah.
if we knew 2020's website for that particular, he was talking about post-traumatic stress, then we could say what it was. But I think we don't know, do we? Do you remember what it
no.
was?
The name, his show is Vision Quest, and it is on Monday and Wednesday nights. And
he might have actually put
listening.
That up there.
Yeah, we will.
Radio.
We need to post that at some point. I just absolutely cannot get in this chat room, and I do not understand why. Very frustrating.
We were talking about how post-traumatic stress covers a wide gamut of police work, policemen and nurses, and I think teachers who are in the front lines with working with juvenile delinquents. And one of the, I just was reading, I thought it was kind of amusing, but it probably wasn't funny at the time. One of our members over at Milagro World, Pat O'Brien's Forum, was a teacher. She thought she really wanted to teach. She went into the classroom and couldn't, as she said, she couldn't get the discipline down, and the kids were cutting her, they cut her computer cables, and they just basically ran amok, because I guess she was just one of those sweet and wonderful loving people that everybody could take advantage of.
Right.
So I think she probably had a little bit of post-traumatic stress about that. And but in my profession,
she's not the only one.
No, in our, no, there's a lot of that. In my profession, where I work with women and babies, there's a lot of fetal and babies dying. And when
Ooh.
That, yeah, hello. When that happens, and it happens continuously, sometimes they a lot of deaths occur over a period of a few weeks. It's
what
very traumatizing, very, very traumatizing. And what I do, we have a bereavement team, and we are dealing with each other's, we meet once a month, and we help each other get through what we have had to deal with, and then we figure out what staff have had to, what they've had to deal with, and then we support them. So in a way, we're dealing a little bit with post-traumatic stress, but not in any huge way, and I would like to see us deal with that a little bit better. So
yeah,
there's somebody in the chat room by the name of Sid Shank, who happens to be my sister.
Oh, right.
Welcome. Uh-oh, Lucy thinks that Sid is at the door. Sorry.
Hello,
sorry, Lucy,
Sid.
Please.
Yeah,
welcome,
Sid. I'm...
Sid. Sid, honey.
Where is Sid located?
Oh, I wanted to say the call-in number, Sid, and anybody else who is arriving. The call-in number for Moon, Moo, and You is 347-205-9200, the Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. So please feel free to call in, and if you can, Sid, just hop in the chat room, and we can chat, too, while we talk.
And I am finally in chat. Did you hear me say that?
How can you? Well, she must be in chat, too, if I see her name. Is that possible? Is that
she
how
should
that works?
Be, but it may, I don't know. I just scrolled down and it was there. I kept pushing on things. And if you click on the Moon and Moo host name.
There you go.
I think that helps. And then you scroll down a little bit. And it's Blog Radio web chat. And it's right there.
Okay, Sid, if you can see that, go for it. But otherwise, it's good to see you there. And what we're talking about tonight is not just, it seems like we're talking a little bit more about not just inspirational lenses, lens makers, and the act of making the lenses with, on www.squiddo.com, but also the overcoming of adversity and of all kinds, really. And Joan had just made a wonderful lens about the overcoming of alcoholism, and her very one of her very first lenses was called Legally Blind. Am I correct about that?
It says that Legally Blind and Plays Golf is the actual title.
And your husband, he must have, was it a retinal detachment of some sort or something?
Actually,
was it a... Mm-hmm.
We've been everywhere, of course, looking for solutions. And this happened
right
when he was 42 years old, so it's been a long time ago. But there has never been a definitive diagnosis.
I see.
We've been told retinitis pigmentosa. We've been told macular degeneration. We've been told this and that. But his one of his golf buddies is an optometrist, and he told me one day after examining him, he said, Joan, he said, anything that could possibly go wrong with your eyes has gone wrong with his. He said, everything that could be wrong is wrong.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost like a mixture of different things. Whitey was a professional ball player, and he's blonde, was blonde, real fair-skinned, and, of course, played golf his whole life, too. And I have almost gotten to the point that I believe that the sun damage, the sun damaged his eyes.
There you are in the south, and all that heavy sun.
Yeah, you're talking about back in those days, guys didn't wear sunglasses. You know,
right.
That wasn't cool.
Right.
But you did well to get a hat on one. Certainly no sunscreen. I mean, we're walking through skin cancers, you know, several times a year now, getting those things
right.
Removed. I mean, I think it was a time in history where we just weren't very careful or aware of the dangers. I also have been told there's during World War II, there was a train that came through town,
mm-hmm.
and Whitey's home was near the train track, and the kids all played near the tracks. That those trains were putting out a chemical of some kind, because there have been two of those children who have had vision problems in their senior years. So, you know, who knows? It is what it is, and we go from there. But, you know, the important thing is that he still, you know, enjoys his life. He has a good time, plays golf, enjoys the grandchildren, is going out to dinner right now, which is wonderful. One of his buddies came by and picked him up. He doesn't drive, and he doesn't read. Other than that, he can do just about anything he wants to.
And I bet you read to him a lot.
Yeah, read a lot of sports pages. I read a lot of golf scores. And, of course, audiobooks are a boon. They're wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're awesome. And in the winter, he really enjoys those. And, of course, he enjoys TV. He just doesn't see much of it, but he listens to a lot of the sports, all of them, actually, the sports events. But, you know, the fascinating thing about Whitey, I'm a reader. I read all the time, you know, is that he has adjusted so well and continued to live his life. And I know me well enough, and I have said this to him before, I know me well enough to know I would be a pain in the neck to deal with, you know,
right.
in the family, within the family. I mean, I would have been curled up in a corner feeling sorry for myself until I could get it together for sure. And I used to tell his friends, if he ever sits down, if he ever stops driving me crazy wanting to do stuff, then every one of you going to have to get over here and help me. You know?
Well, don't forget, you're tough, just like everybody else in your family. I'm welcoming Sid. Are you there, Sid? I have, she is on the switchboard.
Oh, good.
And I have her up. Maybe, Sid, maybe all you have to
one.
Do is press one. Press one.
Press one, Sid. Betty Rush was going to try to stop by and listen.
Oh,
she couldn't find her login stuff, so.
She hopped off, and I've lost the chat room. Is Sid still there?
Sid did not come in the chat room. She is showing that she is online for me.
Okay,
and that
good.
That she's in, so.
Well,
and I'll tell you something else I discovered,
yeah.
Kate, is that people can be listening and not actually be logged in and you don't know it.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't realize that because someone told me a couple of weeks ago they had tuned in and listened to part of the call and, you know, I didn't realize they were there. So I think that's an entire possibility, too. But let's jump back a little bit because I want to
yes.
tell you a little something I found today, and I'm gonna jump around here. But I found a lens today that was written by a young man who's struggling with depression. Have you seen this one? He's
what
had depression.
What is the URL of that one?
It's
I think I have bipolar.
There's a great bipolar one too, where she calls it Two Bears and a Lady. And that one's precious. But this one is Life with Depression.
Mm-hmm.
But this young man is R. Bailey. He's 25 years old. And he's been suffering with this depression for years. And he has written a series of lenses about his dealing with depression. There are now five different lenses that are, he's calling My Story, Life with Depression. Certainly is worth looking at. Real interesting to read. He is very honest about where he is. And I don't know if you've ever dealt with depression. I certainly have. But he tells it like it is. Mm-hmm. And that's the joy of it. And he's still struggling with it. What I love is that Squidoo is giving him the venue to express all of this stuff. You know,
absolutely,
a place to put it all. And you and I both know that writing about it is half the cure. Getting it said, getting it out there. And it's just real interesting to read his series. He's a new lens master, and I'm just delighted to have found him. But he will continue to add to it, he says.
I would think that it's very possible for him and for anybody else who suffers from depression that when you do these lenses, you suddenly aren't depressed anymore.
Right. There's a healing quality. Anytime you're writing about anything, there's a healing in it. And I think that's why his has continued. You know, I think he's continuing to tell his story as he deals.
Mm-hmm.
And what a treasure that is. You know,
absolutely.
Because he's not making it soft and sweet, you know. He's telling it like his days are, and goodness, that's a rough road to walk. The other one that I think is an absolute treasure is by Love My Ludwig. And the name of it is Bipolar Disorder and Me, and that's all one word. But her title is Two Bears and a Lady, Bipolar Disorder and Me. And she explains that the bi is the two and the polar is the bear. Two polar bears. Yeah, Bipolar Disorder and Me, Two Bears and a Lady. Her sense of humor is delightful. She writes beautifully. And she is winning with the help of a little bitty pill, as she calls it. But she's done a beautiful job of explaining her entire walk. Just to clarify for anyone who is listening, that is http://www.squidoo.com/bipolardisorderandme. We need probably a place to, maybe I'll put those in the comments section, all of these lenses, because you'll need those two, a link probably, to get to them. But it's Bipolar Disorder and Me, and she's called Two Bears and a Lady. And she is, as I said, just delightful, and what a joy to have her tell her story. You know, she says, hey, I've been diagnosed with this thing, and I'm living with it. She says she's cute but psycho, things even out. she's just darling, and it's well worth your time to read it. Now, let's move on, because
go ahead. What other ones have you seen?
All right, the other ones are the three that I started out featuring, which were yours, which certainly I'd prefer you talk about your own, and Chef Keem and Gypsy Allen. Gypsy was going to try to be on tonight. I don't know, but she had company come in. A little aside, I have to tell you this cute story. Have you been following Twitter today?
Not so much. But
tell me. She came on. She obviously was supposed to meet somebody on the telephone earlier this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And she Twittered whoever this person was and said, I'm not going to be able to meet with you. Can we make it later? Family has driven here from 2 hours away to eat a cake I just made. And then I Twittered back, and she emailed me and said she made the cake for her dad. It's her dad's birthday, and he died 2 years ago. And she decided this morning that she was going to bake Daddy a cake. And so she did, and then the family called and said they were coming. which I just think is delightful, divine order.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that
that's
precious?
Very interesting.
Yeah. I said, you know, it's like if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. So, but, you know, she didn't know they were coming, and she had her cake baked, which is delightful. But if you will let me shut up a minute and you tell your story about your lens.
Right.
That would be wonderful.
I'm giving my sister instructions on how to get in because she can't hear.
Oh, turn up your volume?
Yep, I said that.
That's what you just told her.
Yes.
Turn up the volume. You might want to reboot. That may be the only answer because I have had to do that before when I couldn't hear.
Okay, I'm going to say reboot.
Reboot the whole computer
in.
And come
call
back.
In. Call in.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to you. And we won't make you talk. If you don't want to.
Can call in and then you'll be able to hear.
Yeah, you can listen on the telephone.
Yes, that's what I was doing a little bit last night on that wonderful 2020 show. As far as my lenses go, I think the majority of them are transformational. Some of them are showcasing the House Bill 1660 here in the state for guaranteed health care, but I would say a quarter of them are that. But I think my favorite inspirational lens is I think it might be the dog ones. I like the dog lenses.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And the ones about the old dog blessings. A dog is man's best friend. And woman's too. And I mean, everyone that I do is has helped me to... it just gives so much, it's so thrilling to create these lenses. I cannot even say enough how thrilling they are.
Well, it's almost like publishing a mini book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And I enjoyed writing about my mother's stroke. That was very inspirational. And I think I'll try to showcase that a little bit on Twitter because it needs a little traffic. In fact, it's the one that has the least amount of traffic, maybe because I didn't put it out there well enough. And I like to do, I like the ones about the Oprah webcasts that she has on online, and I like to listen to them and then write little stories about them.
And I have not gotten into the habit of doing that, and I need to. There's a lot of good information out there for sure. And it's free.
Don't forget the new Earth webinar. That is one of the most wonderful things on the world.
I have heard you say that before, and I haven't done it. I did not, quite frankly, enjoy the book, so I have not done that.
Now, Sid is on the line. Sid, if you want to say something, just press 1. Otherwise, you'll probably be able to hear us.
Hi, I'm just calling in to say hi and that I'm listening, and all of a sudden you wanted me to say something and then everything kind of went rummy. So,
well,
we're glad you're here.
Yeah,
thank
I was
you.
Just trying to figure out how to work it and what to do, and so I just called in on the phone. At first I could hear you on the Internet, and then I tried to talk on the Internet, but I guess that didn't work.
Well, we think that you have to reboot it sometimes.
Reboot the whole computer, because I have had to do that before to get on 2020's call. Tell me where you are, Sid.
I'm in outside of Eugene, Oregon.
Wow, y'all are across the country apart.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
My
we don't
goodness.
Get to see each other very much.
No.
We'll be going to see, we'll all have a family reunion in Bloomington, Indiana on the 25th of July, when our aunt will be 100. Isn't that exciting?
This year?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this year on the 25th of July.
There's a lens in the making.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll have a great time. We'll take some great pictures of the whole generational thing. And
yeah.
And
I just invited John to get on Facebook, and he's going to do it.
Oh, I think that's a great way to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but maybe you want to get on with your show, and do I push one again just to listen?
Yes.
Or you can just stay like you are.
Okay.
Yeah,
Either way, whatever makes you happy.
And just say anything you want to say at any time.
Okay, I'll just mostly be quiet and listen.
We're mostly very casual, obviously.
That's good. We are extremely casual.
Yes, in fact, the dogs could bark any minute, and we'll just laugh. So.
I have to tell Sid, I don't even know if you know, but the first night we did a practice, I could not get online, and Kate ended up with the show by herself.
Oh, dear.
None of the guests could get on.
Oh,
first
no.
time we had ever done it, and Kate is online for a solid hour. Talking.
Alone.
Alone. Hysterical.
That's all of us out watching.
And we were talking back and forth, you know, how can I get her attention? What can I do? And nobody could do a thing, and I couldn't even call her. In the first place, I didn't have her number. In the second place, she was on her phone. So
right.
just shook. But she did. She talked. I will never forget that as long as I live, I think, Kate. You did a beautiful job.
The dogs were barking that night because I bought a car, a 1986 Toyota Tercel. And I drove into the driveway, came running in the house, and started doing the show. Well, the dogs kept looking out at the car and kept barking at it because they had never seen it before. Of course, I think it's really funny. But
so all of that is now set up for history. One day somebody's going to hear that, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's in the archives for everybody to hear.
That's true.
Yeah, and you did a heck of a job. You really did.
I really appreciate your support, believe me.
You really did. I could not have done it. I mean, I would have hung up, I will tell you. I would have said, sorry, y'all, this isn't going to work tonight, boing. And it would have been all over. So I was totally impressed. And you sound
so
professional.
Your comment was that I deal with all those emergencies at the hospital. And this was an emergency, and I rose to the occasion. I'll never forget that you said that.
But that, also that it was your first filibuster. That's
oh,
a politician
that's right.
in you. Your absolute first filibuster, all your very own.
I forgot.
1 hour
that.
On international radio. I loved it.
Yak and yak.
Well, what was funny that night, see, when she started talking about Whitey, and Whitey's my husband that we were talking
uh-huh.
about that is legally blind. And and Kate starts telling Whitey's story, and I was chatting with 2020 back and forth in the comment section of the, right, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I told him, I said, she has really got desperate. She's talking about Whitey, and she's never met him, you know. Delightful.
That wasn't desperation, because to me, Whitey has a real character. He is one of those people that everybody would love to meet, and probably that when you meet him, you'll just never forget him.
Right. And he
That's
knows
funny.
Somebody everywhere he goes. I mean, he can go around the world and run into somebody he knows. Never make a $5 bet with him that he'll see somebody he knows first, because he will. He'll do it every time. And he never forgets. He never forgets names. He used to never forget a face.
That's why. Yeah.
But now he doesn't forget voices.
Mhm. Mhm.
So, you know, once he meets somebody,
and as you pointed out that he can recognize birds by the way they, you know, do their bird song. He knows which bird is which.
Mhm. Mhm. That's neat.
Yeah, it is neat. It's neat when he's out there with the 5 and 6 year old grandchildren, showing them.
Mhm.
You hear that one? Do you hear that one?
Yeah.
You know, it's neat stuff.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when I can recognize the bird songs and know what kind of bird it is, but there's not that many. I can do a few, but not that many.
Oh, I can't do them at all, and Whitey Adams has been telling me them for years. It's like it doesn't click. I mean, we've been married 45 years, and he's probably been telling me all that stuff since year one because he's always loved the birds.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have the ear for it. It's like trying to teach me biology. which is a total waste of time. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Just goes right over my head. I just, whatever that piece of brain is, I didn't get it. I'm totally left out. But I love to see him do it.
Yeah, that's
right. So,
we're very
anyway.
Happy that you're here, Sid. Thank you so much.
I think it's
well,
wonderful.
I thought it would be a fun thing to do. I spent the day with my computer, and now I'm going to take the dogs to the park.
Oh,
nice.
So all of
nice.
You, are all of you children dog lovers?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I know
yes,
your brother
yes.
is.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
we are. We love
so
our dogs.
So there's three of you. Who's? Tell me the birth order again. Before.
Well, my brother's the oldest, and I'm the middle, and Kate's the youngest.
Yeah, Kate's the baby. I did know that.
Uh-huh. And we always had dogs. My mother always had a dog. And we have, I've almost always had a dog, so every now and then there'll be a break. But mostly we do. And right now I have two.
What are they?
I have a Husky Shepherd
and
a Dachshund.
You have a great big dog.
Yeah, well, he's medium-sized.
Like 100
pounds. And a dachshund is a tiny one. He's about 55 pounds.
Oh, okay.
And
I've got a golden.
It's a small dog.
A Doberman. Right? That's big, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, the Doberman. I thought you said dachshund. Okay.
I did say dachshund. I thought you said Doberman.
No.
Okay.
No, your husky is huge, right?
Well, no, he's not. He's 55 pounds.
So he's not huge. Okay.
No,
my golden is 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah. That's big. That's big, yeah. You've got a golden
rotten,
retriever?
Yeah, big rotten baby and a poodle. I have a big one and a little one like you do.
Oh, yeah, me too. Right.
I've got a poodle that thinks he's the boss and the golden does exactly what the poodle says.
Exactly, that's what they do, right?
Oh, you have to just love them all.
Yeah.
Sure.
But they do absolutely have healing properties. I know when my brother died.
Mm-hmm.
The poodle stayed with me. Slept with me, stayed right up under me.
Yeah.
They sense when you're not well.
Yes, they do.
I know.
And whenever
they
I go
know.
On hikes, the husky always comes back to make sure I'm still there, and he runs up and back and up and back and up and back because he's always ahead of us. And then he comes back to make sure we're all still there, and then he runs ahead again, and then he comes back. And
that's a big
job. He's taking care. Yeah.
He's busy, yeah. So.
That is a big job.
Does a husky have blue eyes?
No, he doesn't. He's got brown eyes.
What has a blue eye? Alaskan elk hound, right?
I'm not sure. I know a blue heeler will have maybe one blue or whitish eye.
Mm.
But I'm not sure which ones have blue eyes.
Of course, a husky could not live in this temperature, I don't think.
Where are you?
We're in South Carolina.
South
you can't
Carolina.
Tell.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's too
hot
there, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll
be 100. Yeah, he likes the cold. He loves the snow.
Yeah, I would well imagine that he does.
Yeah.
He is half wolf, isn't he? He's like a wolf.
He's wolfish. He's shepherd husky, so it gets a little wolfish in the way he is. But he's not part wolf.
Per se. Right.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Are you a nurse also, Sid?
No, I'm a teacher.
A teacher?
Uh-huh.
Y'all mama did a good job, didn't she?
She
a
tried.
A teacher, a nurse, and what does your brother do?
He has been working for a newspaper, and he's an actor and a writer.
Yeah,
the newspaper's shut down.
Ooh.
So now he's going more into his artwork now that that's happened.
So he's
yeah,
the artist.
Yeah, everything happens
among
for a reason.
He's an artist.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he's an artist.
Yeah, see, all the artists.
Yeah, he was a teacher at another time, but then he started writing and became an artist.
How wonderful. Creative bunch.
Yeah.
Do you write also?
Me?
Do you write like Kate?
Teach writing.
You do what? I didn't hear you.
I teach writing, and I do.
Oh my goodness! Did your mother write?
I don't think so.
She wrote a lot of letters, didn't she?
Yeah, she did write letters. Yeah, she did write letters.
She read so many letters, I don't think she had time to write anything else.
But you look at that. That's three kids in a family that write.
Uh-huh.
You
yeah,
got
uh-huh
it from somewhere.
It's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
But don't forget, in the letter writing is a lost art. And
it
when
is
people wrote letters like our parents did, and Dad wrote great letters too,
uh-huh,
there was, it's just, you're practicing the art of writing.
Right,
no doubt
right
about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's,
and I have,
it's just a beautiful thing.
And I still have all their letters.
Do you?
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I have a huge box of letters, yeah.
Wow, I have
something with those, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have my mother's diary from the year she met my dad.
Oh boy, that's good.
I wouldn't take $1 million for that.
Uh huh.
But
uh-huh,
now, mother did not write, but like you say, she did letters all the time. So we
uh-huh
always we all knew how to express ourselves on paper.
Right,
you know,
right.
And maybe that is a sign of the generations too.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm
Betty Rush, my older sister, still writes to our stepmother every single day.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mary Jim is
wow
in a nursing home, and she is in skilled care, so she is not
mm-hmm
well. She
mm-hmm
probably forgets it the moment she reads it,
uh-huh,
but she has a letter every
well
single day.
Well, that's really
day
good. It doesn't matter if she forgets it or whatever.
Mm-mm.
She
for
looks
the moment,
forward to it.
In that moment,
mm-hmm,
she loves it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
oh, that's
what matters. Yeah.
It is what matters.
Uh-huh.
Right, right.
But
well,
that is
hurrah
interesting. Y'all
that
need to get
terrific
together and publish a book about your family.
We should.
We'll certainly do a lens. This do a lens about this 100th birthday. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's in Illinois because
Indiana.
That is in Bloomington, Indiana. And because
okay
now this is another thing. She's quite a pioneer to have lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, all of her life,
mm-hmm,
and then her son lives in Bloomington, though, so she wanted to be closer to him. But still, it's very, very adventurous of her to have
it
moved
is
out there
mm-hmm
in
mm-hmm
her 90s, mid-90s, I think.
And
no
she won an art contest last year. And
no
Jay Leno called her up to congratulate her on winning the art contest.
Jay
Leno.
Jay Leno.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, Jay Leno.
Very cool.
There's
I get,
another
I get
Liam
confused. David Letterman, Jay Leno. It was
well,
Jay Leno,
was,
yeah, yeah.
It was Jay Leno, and she answered the phone, and then I believe he made an announcement on his show.
Yes, uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, those people have people pouring over the news for them. They probably
right
came, and that was in the newspaper, and they found it, and they
mm-hmm
because a 99-year-old taking up painting like that,
right,
it's quite a little news item.
Uh-huh.
And there's that whole artsy side showing up again. See, all
right,
that creativity.
Right.
Wow. But do you have a blip of that piece of the show?
No.
I'm sure she does.
I bet she does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If she does, you need to get that and put it up on YouTube and put it on your lens.
Yeah. Kate, that's for
well,
you.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah,
wow.
It's really quite amazing to think about all the material that there is to write about and to create.
I know. Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm
uh-huh
so impressed with y'all. I don't know what to do. You've got
well,
to,
wait,
y'all
you
got
love
to write something. You've just got to get together and write your story.
I know.
Well,
I know what
Joan,
to do.
Well, you have put the bug in our ear, that's for sure.
Okay. I can see it now. And see, and then you can go on Oprah.
Oh, yeah.
What is
well,
that? There's a movie star that was on, and I can't think of who it was. I'm not good at movie star names, but his big thing is that everybody needs to tell their story. Have you seen
mm-hmm
this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
sweet.
I can't think of his name. I can see him. Nice little guy. But anyway, he was on there talking about doing his. He had told his story. He had written his story and how every family needs to write their story.
It's
history.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the ins and the outs too. Don't hide anything because, and don't whitewash anything because whitewashing is boring.
Right, right.
Well, the whitewashing is what we all learned in school.
Yeah.
You know who
yeah
wants that mess? You know, I'm
yeah
here. I'm so
yeah
mad.
Was,
I've got all
your
the
summer vacation like? Oh, I had fun.
Yes. But The genealogy stuff is great. The genealogy stuff is wonderful. But it's more fun. And the stories that I always look for are the stories. We have a good bit of the family history on our dad's side. And you look for the stories. And sad to say, in those generations, the stories are all pretty much the same no matter which family you were in. You know, I think every family in the South had a rebel soldier that swam across the river with the corn in his shirt, you know.
That is hysterical. Oh, Joan, you could tell up so many interesting stories about the South, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be done one day. I got to tell you all a funny story with your reunion coming up. And, Kate, you may have heard me tell this tale before. But I am pretty opinionated and stubborn and all those things. But when we went to the first, we gathered this group together and had the first ever family reunion for this group in like the year 2000, I think. And we decided to do it every other year. Well, anyway, somebody had out the family genealogy stuff and they said, pulled out a newspaper article written about our great-great-grandfather. And it said, Mr. Tate was always on the right side of every issue. I thought, yeah, now I know where I get that from. I've been on the right side of every issue since the day I was born, you know. I loved it. Always on the right side of every issue. You can't beat that.
Yeah, and of course it doesn't really tell you what side of the issue or what exactly was the opinion or anything like that.
That's immaterial. He was just the right side. What Whitey calls O.W., one way.
One way. It's called opinionated.
Yeah, a little bit slightly opinionated.
Right.
Always on the right side of every issue. I'm going to have that made into a sign. I'll get Nancy to make me a sign. Always on the right side of every issue. Hang it in my house.
What's that quote you said earlier today, Joan? Something about...
The people who think they know it all are irritating to those of us who do.
Yeah.
For
that's
sure.
That's opinionated. That is opinionated.
Well, Nancy gave me a sign one year, and we're all this way. I mean, we're all this way. But Nancy gave me a sign one year that says, everyone is entitled to my opinion.
Oh.
And that hangs in there in the other room.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. Well, the thing is that Jones has a sister. She has two sisters, but she hasn't been able to convince her one sister to get on Squidoo. But, Joan, you are saying that Nancy and you are doing these great lenses and has brought you, in a special way, closer together because of it.
Yeah,
and
we're
so
having
now
fun.
I will try to convince you. I will teach you how to do it, Sid.
I would love to do it. I've got a pretty good one because of the group that we've been involved with in Mexico. I think it'd be fun to write a lens about that. And there are links and pictures, you know, and all that. So I've been thinking about it.
Oh,
as I've gotten.
There you go. That's
Nancy
good.
And I have had so much fun, and y'all. Just to let you know, Betty just emailed and said she had tried and tried and tried, couldn't get on.
Aww.
And she says, another family phrase is, God knows I tried. She says, God knows I tried. She has tried. Nancy and I are on the phone at least once a day with something about Squidoo. It's just neat. And it has put another dimension in that relationship.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Well,
we get Betty Rush on there, we'll be wild.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I was going to say that earlier that since I started to do this lens thing, now I just to put it in perspective, it was just after the new year that I decided to go for 50 lenses by the end of March.
Uh-huh.
And since I've been doing that, I haven't been sick at all.
Oh.
No colds,
no flu.
And I'm thinking that it has a real beneficial immune system boosting power doing these lenses. I mean, once you start doing them, then the only reason now, Joan started to Joan has created over 100 lenses, and she is quite the grand dame of the Squidoo community.
Oh, so you have 100? You have over 100, Joan?
I think it's 115 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
but that's been a year.
And so we're in the same mastermind group where we
mm-hmm.
talk every and I've met Joan through the Pat O'Brien University, you know, the
uh-huh.
Your Portable Empire University. So
yes.
That's how we
uh-huh.
first met. And so on our mastermind calls, Joan was talking a lot about lens making, and we were all fascinated by it, and we would all listen and ask questions. And I guess Charlie Leatham and I then decided, Charlie is at our mastermind, we decided to both do the 50 lenses by the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
I made it. I've done 50.
You've done
actually,
50. Wow.
I've done 52. I wanted to
oh,
have
boy.
A little cushion.
Yeah.
And I have to go through them. I have to go through them now because I went through a few today that had some stupid things in them that needed to come out.
Oh, yeah.
or let's say that the title was the default title.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff. And you have to create, in order for them to accept it, you have to create an original title for every module.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's just something you learn as you go along. But
would you believe I found one of those today on one of mine?
In your own, yes.
Yes.
I do.
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Gosh. They must have
the same title.
You're using their default title, yeah. And
uh-huh.
it's just a big time no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I pride myself on the fact that I had, well, when you go for Giants, you have to check them like Kate's doing because that will keep you out of Giantshood.
Uh-huh.
And so you check and check and check. And, I mean, there it was. It was just sitting there. How did I manage to do that?
Well, the thing is that even when you're checking them, your mind might wander.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you completely missed the default title.
Misspelled
words, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's
uh-huh.
the thing about doing so much work on the Internet, don't you think, Joan, is that suddenly, I mean, my mind, I feel like I have ADHD. I cannot keep my mind on anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I definitely have focus issues. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we can do this show so well, because we go from topic to topic to topic.
We've never stayed on subject yet, but we are entertaining.
Well, that's good.
Oh, we laugh a lot. So you have a great laugh. I mean, you know, we could. Actually, we only have 7 minutes remaining on the show, if you can believe that.
Right.
Well, and the
amazing.
Purpose of this show was for me to meet Sid, and I love it.
Well,
yeah,
good. Well, I look forward to
it.
I have a little more flexible time now. Than
good.
I will soon. So I thought, well, I think I can do that, and it's St. Patrick's Day after all. And
okay, happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Spend much time with St. Patrick's Day. It's not my big.
they're drinking like a fish out there right now.
Yeah,
fish. Yeah, green beer.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, it seems to be what most people do on St. Patrick's Day, and. I'm not interested in that or what else is it? Beef.
Yeah,
know.
Whatever that is. I don't
do
that
cabbage,
either.
Yeah, the cabbage thing.
Corned beef and cabbage, yeah.
Corned beef and cabbage, that's it, yeah.
That's it.
But my daughters are going to a friend's house tonight who always makes corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day. So they'll go do that, but we weren't invited and that's fine.
And guess what? That's okay, huh?
I didn't want to go, no.
Right. I know the feeling. But the only thing we did around here, our grandchildren called after school, and they're 6 and 5, and Jessica said they went to computer lab, and a leprechaun attacked their classroom and threw green paper everywhere.
Oh, that's cute.
They had a big time. Some teacher made herself a mess to clean up, but
I know.
They wanted to know
cute.
If Poppy... If Poppy knew how to catch a leprechaun.
Right. Well, we had an aunt. The girl on my husband's side, the girls had an aunt who would always send special packages for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
And that was always fun. We'd get, you know, something from Pennsylvania for St. Patrick's Day, pretzels or something. You know, she'd send something. And she reserved certain holidays for certain of the kids in the family. And St. Patrick's Day was our day. So we remember that for that, and that was fun too. Yeah, that's different than, you know, drinking green beer. And
yeah. We went last night, and an Irish friend of ours, who I call the pediatric guru, and we got into the restaurant, and there he was with a four-leaf clover flashing green pin on his lapel. It was
neat.
So cute. So cute.
That is cute. Right, right.
Yeah, it
was that's
fun.
A good spirit of the whole thing. That's good.
Yes, yes.
So, well, I noticed as I was trying to figure all this out with the blog talk radio thing that lots of people have different shows on here.
Yes,
and they
do.
They create their own ideas and put them on the air. And I'm just wondering, you know, I just thought, oh, that's interesting, you know, how that
it
all
is
works.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then how much, you know, how much everybody else pays attention to that is interesting, or do they, or what happens then, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think what's interesting, and we have had nights when we've had, you know, 10, 12 on. I guess we had 11 last week. Or, you know, we've had times when we haven't had but just one special guest like you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a learning experience.
Yes.
You know?
We're
branching out.
Uh-huh,
and and we're learning, you know, and for whatever reasons, here we are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't forget, the shows are all archived. And another thing is you can just take the show off the Blog Talk Radio and place them on your blog or in the lenses or probably any other number of places that I haven't.
I downloaded your last one onto iTunes. And
ooh,
then
that
also brought iTunes onto my computer, so that was good. See, because we've only had high-speed internet in our house for a few months, so it's really, really a new thing for us to have this, and we were using it a lot. So
it's a great thing. Oh, my heavens.
Yeah, and for many years we didn't have it because we couldn't get it in our neighborhood, but then something broke through, and now we do, so.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, and we had it when we were in Mexico, too. We won't stay in a hotel unless it has high speed internet. So.
Oh, well, that's really great.
That is great.
Yeah,
Stay in touch.
Well, we do a lot of business too. It's amazing sitting in Mexico doing business in Oregon on a computer.
Wow.
Yeah, the computer is one of the most amazing instruments of communication. And Joan and I were saying that we have met so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Through the internet, and actually it was Joan's son, Randy, who said that we have an internet family, which I really hadn't thought of it quite that way, but that is exactly what we have. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I know, we sit in our little isolated places with this machine.
Yeah.
changing the whole scope of it all.
Ah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, so it's good. Well, your time's almost up, huh? But it's been fun, and I'm glad I got on. And
I'm so happy to hear your voice. Thank you.
Delighted.
Yeah,
what fun.
It took a little bit of patience. I thought that I'd get on through the computer, and I realized, no, I'll just get on the phone.
Yeah, the phone's cool. Thank
you
very
much.
That's good.
Okay, well, have a good evening, and congratulations on being brave enough to do things like this and partnering like this. It's really good.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
To meet you, too, Joan.
Nice to meet you. What fun. What fun. This was
fun.
Our whole purpose tonight. This is great.
Good. Well,
Thank you so much.
Your sister was on last time, and I thought, well, you know, Kate has a sister, too.
Thank you very much. That's great.
I think the last time you did it, what was the date then?
Well, it was the 3rd.
Yeah, we do every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday at 6.
Oh, every Tuesday.
Three mm-hmm. year time. Yeah.
Right.
And we run out of relatives, we're going to be in trouble, aren't we?
We'll see if you can drum up another one for you, Kate.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this every Tuesday at 3.
We'll do our best.
Right,
I'm sure we'll get Indigo on here.
Oh, she'll be great. Oh, my gosh.
She's a real techie, so.
Oh, good.
Okay, well, you guys have a good night. It's been fun.
Love to you. Thank
you.
Okay,
love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Joan, goodbye. And goodbye to everybody. We will decide on a topic next week. And for now, almost goodbye, I want to give credence, I want to give credence to our wonderful music, www.musicofmothersandchildren. Let me just look at that again. Music of Mothers and Children.com. And that would be Klaus Jensen and Henrik Burke Abu. So thank you very much, everybody. We love you all. And have a wonderful, wonderful St. Patrick's Day. Moon, Moo, and you, the collective wisdom.
Thank you.